I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're having a candid talk with three pro bloggers about sponsored posts. Emily Henderson, Justina Blakeney, and Nicole Balch talk about feedback, rates, and how it all works.
Well, hey, Sherry.
Hello. This is like one of those special episodes that needs different music.
Oh, you mean like this? On a very special episode of Young House Love Has a Podcast.
Perfect.
Podcast.
So this week we wanted to switch things up. You know, we love doing mostly home and DIY focused things, but anyone who reads our blog knows that sometimes we go off on little side tangents and talk about something else. And this is one of those episodes where we wanted to dive into something a little different.
We are going to peel back the curtain a little bit and go behind the scenes of the topic of sponsored posts.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm not sure if the subject technically qualifies as controversial, but if you write a blog or if you read blogs, you're probably well aware of sponsored posts and some of the opinions around them. And our goal really with this episode is just to open up the conversation and reduce some of the mystery factor by asking some of the things that we've always wondered on the subject and having sort of a candid and casual chat with three professional bloggers about how everything works behind the scenes for them as it relates to sponsored posts.
But I feel like we should pause for a second and give some background just in case anyone at home is just scratching their head and saying like, sponsored what?
When we think of sponsored posts, we're generally referring to blog entries that a company or a brand pays the blogger to write. They usually involve some sort of product review or product mention or a link to the company and should be marked with some sort of disclosure that the blogger is receiving compensation for writing that post. Like typically you'll see those little blurbs that say something like, this post was sponsored by so-and-so, but all opinions are my own. You also might notice them on social media too these days. They're like an Instagram post that you might see in the caption says like hashtag ad or hashtag spawn.
We were actually inspired to tackle this subject after reading an awesome post by Justina Blakeney on her blog, The Jungalow. It's called Blogging Plus Money Matters, and it's all about how she monetizes her site, and it was completely fascinating and honest to read everything. She shares her stats and even her prices.
Yeah, so we will definitely link everyone to that in our show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. It's a really good read. And as she points out in that post, there seems to be a lot of mystery around blogging as a career in general, and especially around this topic of sponsored content.
In fact, we got to talk to Justina about that subject on the phone. Hi, Justina.
Hi.
Thank you for making this happen.
Oh, well, it's so nice to connect with you guys.
We were inspired by your post about the business of blogging. And as we were thinking about this podcast, we were like, you know, I really admire the transparency that you brought to that. And I think you were right in saying that being a little bit brave and being willing to talk about some of these things publicly will hopefully lead to some more understanding on all parts.
Right.
And well, we felt like we kind of could be Switzerland because we didn't do them, but we're avid blog readers and fans and we love lots of blogs that have them. So we thought we could kind of like play the role of asking the questions we've always wondered and we assume blog readers also wonder.
Totally. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I love it.
So as Sherry mentioned in the clip there, we never got into the sponsored post thing ourselves.
Yeah, so when other bloggers find that out, we often get a response like this one from Justina.
You guys never did sponsored posts? What's wrong with you?
I know. Well, now when we hear how much everyone's making, we're like staggered. Because, you know, back in the day when we were offered them, it was like, do you guys want a free coffee maker and you'll write about it? And then we sort of like auto response.
Like, you know what? I can live without the coffee maker. I'm fine.
Yeah, we like did an auto response. Like we are not interested in sponsored posts or freebies. And now people are like, yeah, when I make X amount. And I'm like, excuse me? What did you just say?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Our sort of declaration in 2010 that we were not going to accept products for free, that somehow morphed as sponsored posts became more of a thing into like, we're not doing sponsored posts.
So you played yourself, basically.
It really simplified things in some ways because we never had to talk about do we accept this or not. We had like a very clear statement and it would like sort of regulated itself.
And, you know, obviously it insulated us from any possible criticism.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All joking aside, you know, we really did want to simplify things. That's a word we use a lot when we're trying to figure things out and really boiling things down and not spending the time having all these discussions about everyone who contacted us, whether or not we should do it, how much we should charge, what we should write about. I mean, by not taking sponsored posts or free products, it eliminated all those discussions.
Well, and we also wanted to simplify things for our readers too. You know, that way when they were reading about a product or a brand on our site, they knew that it was something we spent our own money on. It wasn't because we were being paid to write about it.
So we've had that policy in place for the last 6 years, and we've been really happy with it. You know, I think we're grateful that we've been able to operate our site for so long without that revenue stream, and we don't plan on changing our policy anytime soon.
I do feel like it's hard to say that policy without sounding like we're stepping up on some like moral high horse, like, oh, we don't do sponsored posts. But that's definitely not the intent of it. In fact, overall, we're really excited to see that so many big brands want to work with bloggers these days. I mean, we've worked with brands in other capacities, whether it's, you know, designing products or curating paint color collections. So I think altogether, these types of relationships between bloggers and brands are just very validating to blogging as an industry. But I will say, as a reader of blogs also, I do have mixed feelings about sponsored posts. You know, for the most part, I see them as a means for me to get more content from the bloggers that I like reading.
Oh yeah, because you know they might not have been able to share a cool makeover if Brand X hadn't sponsored it.
But, you know, you come across the occasional sponsored post that feels like, you know, maybe it wasn't written as well as or as genuinely as it could be, or like you're feeling overly sold to.
Or it's like the fifth time you've read about some brand within a week and you're like, if I hear about some meal that comes in the mail one more time.
Exactly. Anyways, if we're going to have a whole episode on sponsored posts, we probably should talk to some people who actually do them.
So you already know that we chatted with Justina Blakeney on the subject, and we also got to talk to Emily Henderson of Style by Emily Henderson.
Hi, guys.
She and Justina both run their sites and design businesses along with a small staff, so we also thought it'd be helpful to talk to someone who's more of like a one-woman show. So we also spoke to Nicole Balch of the blog Making It Lovely.
Hey.
And before we dive in, let us just say out loud that we're very grateful to each of these bloggers for being generous and candid in their conversations with us. You know, it's not always comfortable to talk publicly about how your business works or how you make money. So a big thanks to Nicole, Emily, and Justina for being so open.
So let's just kick things off with the first question that we posed to each of them.
Oh, and we'll remind you who's talking just in case you're not familiar with their voices. This one starts off with Emily Henderson, followed by Nicole from Making It Lovely.
Well, what do you think is one big misconception about sponsored posts?
If I was a reader, I would think that the client comes to the blogger or the influencer and says, will you do this? And then they say yes, when really there's just 2 months of the influencer creating the story and working with the client to make sure that it's going to be successful in every way. It just looks easy, and it's not.
I think people have no idea how selective bloggers are. I'm sure it's not just me. You know, we really work hard to make sure that it is a good, that it's something we're excited about. There is a lot of thought behind who we choose to work with.
Here's Justina from The Jungalow.
I think that there's a misconception that it's easy money. And I think because so many people are bloggers and so many people manage social media channels and all that, that if somebody's able to make a good living, it feels a little bit like winning the lottery and that it's easy money and all you have to do is like snap a photo and you make $2,000 or whatever it is. And sometimes, honestly, it feels like that a little bit to me too. but I think, yeah, it's not just an easy buck. And I don't know anybody in this industry who doesn't work their tail off.
So we'll cover more on those misconceptions throughout this episode, while also diving into things like why they think sponsored posts garner negative feedback, what bloggers could be doing better, and probably the question you're all wondering, how much money is there to be made?
Okay, but first, why sponsored posts? What's so special about them? Well, each of these ladies confirmed that they've become a huge part of their business models. Here's Nicole, followed by Justina, and then Emily.
I mean, I've been doing this since 2007, so I've tried a lot of different approaches. But sponsored posts is definitely, I would venture to say, where a lot of people are making most of their income from. I've done a lot of banner advertising, which is, you know, if you go to a site and you see ads on the sidebar, or some people have them at the top, at the bottom. And that used to be a lot bigger, but that's been going away for a long time. It's really not a big part of my income. So in order for me to be able to turn this into a job and to spend the kind of time that I want to spend on it, there has to be sponsored content.
The main source of income that we have from the blog and from our social media channels are through product integration and sponsor blog posts. Where like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we were making most of our money from sidebar ads. Now that's really shifted.
Back in the day, most of the revenue for blogs came from ad networks or ads. And then once that started shifting away from that, we don't really have a choice. The ads just won't fund everything. You know, it's not going to be profitable.
So we talked with all three bloggers about how they find the sponsors they work with. They all told us that they worked with ad networks, PR firms, or advertising agencies, and they all sort of act as middlemen to connect them to brands who are looking for promotion on sites like theirs.
But Nicole, Justina, and Emily all told us that they also try to reach out to brands directly whenever they can, because not only does it allow them to customize a partnership, but it also lets them work the brands that they're already using and can most easily integrate into their content.
But Justina explained that it wasn't always easy to strike these partnerships. And in the beginning, it certainly wasn't clear how much they should cost.
When I was first trying to monetize the site and my numbers weren't what they are today, I definitely would reach out to companies like a paint company, say, oh, I want to paint my house. Will you sponsor me with paint and with $500 or something like that? And I started out small with like small numbers just to try and get actually paid for the content I was creating and not just paid in product. And that was kind of the first step. And it was difficult. What I found was I was often able to get product, but it was really difficult to get paid. And what started to happen was that the more I did these trades where I was getting free product and people were starting to see the quality of the content and the level of distribution that I was bringing to the table and how many people were seeing these posts and they were going viral on Pinterest. And then I started to get requests. And at first, you know, I had no idea how much to charge. So little by little, I just was raising my rates. So it would be like, oh, try and get $500. Oh, try and get $1,000. And the more I grew my audience, the more I would try and raise my rates and figure out what other people were getting for posts and just to kind of try and match that.
So what is Justina getting paid these days for her sponsored posts? Well, she answered that in the blog post that we mentioned up front, saying that she typically gets between $5,000 and $10,000 per sponsored post, which includes social media amplification. Basically, it means that she shares it across her social channels as well as blogging about it.
And maybe those numbers sound crazy to you. Maybe they don't. For me, I actually go back and forth between feeling shocked by them and feeling like they're actually quite reasonable for the amount of eyeballs these bloggers can reach for a client.
Yeah, I think on the subject of eyeballs, that really is what creates value for a lot of these brands. When you look at the reach of these bloggers, Justina revealed in her post that she has a reach of about 1.7 million people, and Vogue has a reach of about 1.2 million people. And Vogue charges $195,000 for a one-page ad. So it's easy to see why brands are suddenly like, wait, bigger reach, and they create the content for you. Maybe this is something we should look into, especially if they're significantly more affordable.
And I actually stumbled across an interesting Tumblr account where influencers have submitted recaps of deals they've made with brands. It's a kind of interesting snapshot of the types of sponsored partnerships that are being struck up these days. Everything on the Tumblr is anonymous, and there are only a few dozen submissions so far. And also, they don't even tell you sort of the size of the following, so you're missing some important reference points, but it still is fascinating nonetheless. I'll read just a couple of examples. Nordstrom paid me $1,000 for one blog post and an Instagram share. Payless Shoes paid me $1,900 and a $75 gift card for three blog posts shared on social media. Honda paid me $10,000 for a two-minute YouTube video that featured a car they loaned me. So you sort of get the idea.
Yeah, so if you want to read more of those submissions, we'll put a link to the Tumblr in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. But let's get back to talking about rates with some folks that we spoke to. Here's Emily Henderson.
I think the first sponsored post I did, I don't remember what it was, but I think it was literally like $300 or $400. But at the time, I don't think I was spending that much money on those posts. And then now, 6 years later, it's a full-on business, right? You know, I have like 5 employees and they have lives and rent they have to pay. And so I can't just willy-nilly say no to a sponsored post just because I don't feel like it. Like I have to actually consider it, like because the business can't go under. Typically, most people think that a sponsored post is around $1,000 to $2,000. It's not. Ours range between $10 to $30, depending on how much work they're going to be and the brand alignment and what they want from me social media-wise. But that's our range. And sometimes there's a tiny brand that we really like. And instead of even calling it a sponsored post and I don't get any money from them, I'll just post about them because I like them and I appreciate that. But of course, they can't spend $15,000. Like, that's a lot of money, you know?
Emily is right. That is a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, especially because I think on the surface, it's tempting to think like thousands of dollars for one little blog post.
But Justina and Emily both offered an interesting perspective on all this.
The way I look at it is really like kind of like a creative ad agency where we're trying to come up with interesting, cool concepts around these different brands, which is exactly what ad agencies do. We're just a much more affordable with how we reach our audience and the ideas that we come to the plate with of how we show people how to integrate products into their lives.
You know, they're not paying money just for the spot on Style by Emily Henderson. They're paying money because we are doing most of the creative work for them. So we'll pitch back, okay, let's have it be a makeover. Let's have it be a quick bedroom refresh that you can do over the weekend. So let's just say it's $25,000 for a makeover. So for $25,000, they get 20 photos, styled photos of their product. Maybe their product's not in every photo, but they get at least 10 assets for them. They don't have to rent a studio. They don't have to hire a photographer. Like, I can get a local photographer that I am friends with to shoot because they're happy to be credited. They're happy. I mean, they'll shoot for $500 or $1,000. And an ad agency can't hire a photographer for $500. Sometimes when I'm just like, oh my God, we charge so much. I'm like, no, no, no. They get a lot. They don't just get the space on the blog that has 2.3 million page views a month. They get all these assets that they don't have to produce them anymore.
That analogy to traditional advertising was really interesting to both of us because both of our first jobs were in advertising in New York City, and we both still do freelance work in that world as well.
Yeah, what Emily said is totally right. Our agencies would spend 3, 4, 5 times that on a single print ad, and that's not even to pay magazines to run it. That's just to actually create the ad itself.
I distinctly remember working on a body lotion ad when I first started, and I think the production cost was like $90,000, like $95,000 something. And that just paid like the model, the photographer, the stylist, the studio rental, you know, hair and makeup people, retouching of the final image. And beyond that, the client still had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to actually put that ad in magazines.
Oh yeah, we worked on things like commercials with babies in them, and they had specific jobs like baby wranglers.
Oh yeah, baby wranglers. That was a real job. That was like a line item.
And there were backup babies. So like if the baby we cast as the main baby got to set and was not having a good day, there were backup babies there to do the job. So they were like, picture a 15-second commercial or a 30-second commercial taking a day or two to shoot with in a studio full of people. I mean, people and more people and food service and all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was really fascinating to hear Emily make that comparison, you know, that they're not just paying for the space on her site, but they're paying for, you know, the ideas around the post and the creative way of showcasing the product. And obviously, it's not an apples to apples comparison, and I don't want to overly glorify bloggers or put down the traditional model of things.
Yeah, and speaking of apples to apples, Nicole learned the hard way that you can't really treat sponsored posts exactly like traditional ads.
This was probably 5 years ago, and it was something that was brought to me through my network, and it was a post that I did not write. I looked at it as, well, it's kind of like a commercial. You know, if you're watching a show and you see a commercial come on, that show didn't write the commercial. It's a separate thing. And it was an experiment to see how that would go over. It was labeled that this post was brought to you by such and such company. I didn't write it, but people really did not respond well to it. They did not like it. I realized like, oh, you know, I was looking at it like it was just this little break, this little commercial that was interspersed with the content. But people looked at it like, oh, I sold my voice to this post that I didn't even write. So I never did that again.
So this leads us to an observation that we've made and Justina noted in her post, that sponsored posts on blogs seem to ruffle more feathers than their traditional counterparts, you know, like an ad in a magazine or a product placement in a movie. Yet for some reason, sponsored content on a blog, which is free for anyone to read, unlike the magazine or the movie ticket you've paid for, sponsored content on a blog seems to be a touchier subject.
So we wanted to pick their brains about why they think this might be the case. What is it about sponsored posts that generates negative feedback?
I don't know if it's a women's thing, a lifestyle thing, the fact that we look like we really enjoy our job and do it as a hobby, and so that it bums them out when they find out that we're making money.
I think a lot of the heat that bloggers get, it's because a lot of people feel like they know us and they know who we are. So all of a sudden, if we turn around and try and sell them stuff, it can come off as being disingenuous or like cheesy.
There are people that just don't want to see any sponsored content, flat out. They just don't want it. And that's not feasible. If my blog was a hobby and something that I did for fun, sure. I hope you enjoy my one post a month because that's all it would be. I would have to spend my time, you know, doing other things.
The amount of negative feedback I get is, I don't know, 2 comments for every 60 that are positive, unless I mess it up, which is, that's my job and that's on me, you know? But like just being sponsored isn't the problem. It's if I don't tell the story in a way that my readers find authentic to me or the way that is authentic to me, that's when I get in trouble.
A lot of people just don't understand what goes on behind the curtain with blogging. And I think that's our fault. We make everything look beautiful and we make it look effortless. And it's not. And so I think just the more that we're real with people and the more that, you know, we can be honest to ourselves and to others about the industry, the more accepting people will be of it.
There's no way that I'm ever going to please the people that don't want to see any sponsor content. But overall, I would say the majority of people either have kind of no opinion on it or it's favorable because I'm trying to make it fit with what I'm already planning on talking about. So it's not this jarring thing. And I think that I've done that better or worse at various times. And I'm always trying to do the best job that I can.
You know, when sponsored posts first started happening ubiquitously, I think people were bummed. But now I think they see that there's year-round good content and I get to read 20 a year that are, you know, that are sponsored. So I think that generally people are like, okay, like it's cool. Like I'm glad that you can support yourself and support your staff to make year-round content.
But that's not to say we didn't hear about some hurdles these bloggers still encounter regularly. Here's a conversation we had with Emily.
There's such shame in women making a lot of money doing creative work right now that even for me, putting my blog post rate out there is kind of terrifying. But at the same time, I'm not like counting my money every day and like buying new cars with it. Like it all goes back into the business. It's just like any other business where we need clients. That's how we make money to support many, many people's careers. So I think it's just talking about the money part, it should not be uncomfortable. But it certainly is. But the more transparent you can be, I think the more your audience respects you.
Totally agreed. And you're awesome at that.
Thank you. So are you.
No, you are.
Come on, guys. What about me? I'm here.
You're a man, John. You're allowed to make
money. That's true. No shame in my game.
Totally.
Well, and I was going to add to that, when we look back, I think making the transition from hobby to business is challenging. I think it is kind of like you feel funny about that, especially as people can watch it actively grow. That's why we're excited when we see posts like Justina did on her blog and why we're excited to have conversations like this, because I think if we can all get a little bit more comfortable, as scary as it is, because this whole conversation makes us nervous as well, hopefully it leads to some more common understanding.
Right.
This idea around transparency came up a lot in our conversations, and I don't think it necessarily means telling everyone how your business works or how much money you charge, because ultimately everyone has to make the call about what they're comfortable sharing with the entire world and what they want to keep private. Justina summarized the conversation nicely.
I think we need to do a better job of being transparent. And I think this is why a lot of people get upset with sponsored posts. And I see a lot of my colleagues doing this, and they're just not disclosing things in a way that I think people feel is transparent. Like when I read blogs and I can tell it's sponsored, but there's no disclosure, or the disclosure is very subtle, I think that needs to change. I think there's also a climate of shame around sponsored posts. There's no reason to be ashamed of a sponsored post that you do if you stand behind your work. So for me, I would like for there to be a climate of pride around creating sponsored content. That's how I feel about the content that I create. I think I'm doing a great service to brands, and I think I'm doing a great service to my readers by unearthing some of the great stuff you can find on eBay or Target or some of these stores that otherwise might feel like a sea of products, and showing how to use these products in your home and make your home more beautiful and more livable and work for your family. Be proud of what you're doing and be transparent about it, and people are going to feel a lot better about it.
So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the process you go through when you evaluate an opportunity that comes to you. You're sort of like, what boxes does it have to check for you to say, I'm going to move forward? Because I assume it's not like, sure, everybody, I'll take everyone.
Right. I say no a lot more than I say yes. I mean, if it's a company that I just ethically don't agree with, that's an easy no. No amount of money is worth doing something that you feel gross about. So that's an easy way to kind of weed out a lot of things.
I got a sponsored post offer in my inbox from one of those pod coffee companies. And they're like, oh, this is a new campaign because now our pods are recyclable. In my gut, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, they're recyclable now. I love coffee. I'm drinking coffee right now. Like, this is on brand. I could do this. I could figure out how to make this work. But then I did a little bit of research and realized that they're actually very difficult to recycle. You have to like take the pods into like 3 different parts. No one actually does it. So the stuff doesn't actually get recycled. And so to me, the campaign was really greenwashing. So I passed on the campaign.
My mantra used to be, don't do a sponsored post for anything that you wouldn't buy yourself. And at first, that seemed like a very obvious statement. Like, why sell something to somebody that you wouldn't do yourself? But the thing is, I'm just one person. And there's a lot of things that people like that are in the same lifestyle realm as me that it's just not where I would spend my money. For instance, I did this fancy handbag post. It was like, can we send you a bag and pay your sponsored rate? And then, you do a post about this bag. This bag was like $3,500. And on their site, it was only 12, but never will I ever spend that amount of money on a handbag, you know? And I told them that. I was like, I can't say that I would do this. But then all my staff, they were like, Emily, like, this is a beautiful bag. And some people really love handbags. And it's like, whether it's the right place to spend your money or not, you could make a good story out of it, you know? And I was like, really? Are you serious? And so I ended up agreeing to it because I was like, I could just say everything I'm thinking. And I could just say that I would never buy this bag. And it's not because it's not a beautiful bag and not because it's like, it's not worth it. I mean, it was handmade, blah, blah, blah. But it's just that that's not my personality and never has been, never will be. But if you guys are into this, and that's how I took some photos of myself, like styling it out in a couple different outfits. And it was almost like a fantasy post. Like if I actually had this life or wanted this life, what I would wear. And it was super positively received because I was super honest about it. I was just like, if you're not into this bag, I get it. Me neither. But for all of you that are into handbags, here you go. Here's a site that you can buy them for 70% less than their original $12,000, you know, price. So every now and again, I have to like rethink my principles because sometimes they're a little bit too strict.
Sometimes it's hard to pass on these campaigns, right? Like it's $5,000 for an Instagram post or whatever it is. And it's relatively easy to put together. And that's my mortgage and the rent for my studio in one Instagram post. But my relationship with my readers and my audience and keeping my integrity is more important to me.
I mean, the best is when a brand comes to you that you already know and love and use all the time. Sure, you know, easy, yes.
So once they've decided to work with a sponsor, we wanted to know how having a sponsor affected the post-writing process itself. Here's a question Sherry posed to Nicole.
How do you keep your readers in mind while you're writing a sponsored post?
You know, I don't write them all that differently from a regular post. It might be that I have certain things that I, in my head, like, oh, I want to make sure that I mention this. So I kind of remember the information that I want to put out there. But that's the case with any post. There's always different things that I need to make sure that I get into a post. So I don't approach it all that differently. I always try to make it something that's interesting for my readers, some sort of tie-in to things that are already happening, so that it's something that I myself would want to read from somebody else.
People are smart, and you know, when things sound a little bit too salesy and stuff, it's annoying. No one wants to read a commercial. And so the way that I deal with that is that I approach every post, whether sponsored or not, from a conceptual standpoint. It's not about a fan or it's not about a snack bar. It's about my point of view, the experience that I'm bringing, and lessons. So that whether or not you end up buying the fan or the snack bar at the end of the post, you have learned something and you have a takeaway that you didn't otherwise have.
Well, we know from working in advertising that your brand or the client has a lot of say in the final words that are used in an ad. And so we were curious in the case of bloggers and sponsored posts, how much influence they had on what the blogger wrote.
Oh yeah, because when an agency creates an ad, you go round and round and there are many, many revisions. So we wondered, is that how sponsored posts work too?
A good brand will give you a ton of freedom. They won't edit your copy very much. They won't change your voice. And those are always the most successful ones.
Creative freedom is paramount. So I feel like the best way to do sponsored content is more of underwritten style, where it's like the brand is sponsoring it, but there's not an image of it in every, you know, it's not all about the product.
Like we did this one with a fan company with Haiku a couple weeks ago that was super successful. They just wanted to make sure their fan looked good in the space. But otherwise, they were like, just do an awesome makeover that will get a lot of traffic because they know a lot of traffic to the post, regardless of how much I talk about the fan. In fact, the less I talk about the fan in a lot of ways, the more successful the post is shared and whatnot.
In my case and in my experience, it's like the blogger gets to write whatever they want. And then the client gets to say if there's anything that they don't like about it.
Before it gets posted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it goes. And I've definitely had experiences where I've pulled out of my contract before I posted the thing because I didn't like the way they wanted me to change it.
Are you getting feedback like, no, please insert this bit of copy? Or is it just like, oh, can you take out the reference to this controversial topic or whatever?
Sometimes we'll get a thing where it's like, oh, can you put our Twitter @tag, you know, in the first paragraph? Can you add this hashtag to the end? Or when you write our name out, this has to be capitalized. You know, oftentimes just little nitpicky stuff like that. But I feel like for the most part, brands understand that the power of working with me and of having me do a post is my level of authenticity.
There was also a lot of talk about social media and how it's become a big factor in how bloggers deal with sponsored content on their sites. Since it sounds like brands these days are looking at a blogger or a quote-unquote influencer for their entire digital footprint, not just the hits on their website.
I think for a long time, I looked at my blog as my main thing. Instagram supports the blog. Facebook supports the blog. And I think that that has really shifted over the last few years, that those social media channels are their own thing. You know, the people that follow you on Instagram, sometimes they're surprised. They're like, oh, you have a blog? How can I read that? So those audiences are their own thing, and you have to kind of look at it that way.
You know, I have a really big Pinterest audience, so I was first able to monetize my Pinterest before I monetized my blog, and now it's all kind of one big ball. Like, it's all like a blog post with social media amplification on all different channels.
Typically, when I'm working with a brand, I will say that my sponsorship package, a standard sort of sponsored deal, would be a post on the blog and then one instance each of promotion on Twitter and Facebook and then Pinterest and Instagram. It's just sort of an all-in-one deal.
We used to have one rate that included one Instagram, one Facebook, one tweet, and some pins. And now it's everything's individually or a la carte. And we will still tweet out the post, but we won't tag them in the tweet unless they pay for it. I mean, basically, it's allowed us to make more money and to, because it is hard to write that copy and integrate a brand into that copy. And so you're just like, yeah, you don't have to pay for that. If you want it, you can have it. But we always still promote the post because we want eyes on the blog every day, you know? And it also has to do with how much I love the brand. Like, if it's a really easy fit and I'm so excited about the project and they're going to let me do whatever I want, and, you know, maybe it's a room in my house or maybe it's like my neighbor's room or whatever, the easier it is, the less money we try and get. But if it's going to be challenging and it's going to take a lot more resources and a lot more creative conversations, then the price has to go up.
And you know that reaction that we got from Justina when we mentioned that we don't do sponsored posts at the beginning of this episode?
You guys never did sponsored posts? What's wrong with you?
Well, there's another common question that we get all the time whenever the whole sponsored post topic comes up.
Let me ask you guys a question. If you could go back in time, would you guys do sponsored posts?
I feel like it's so hard because we've seen how simplified everything is.
Yeah.
I think if I was starting blogging today and knowing what the sort of dynamics are of monetizing a website, I think it would be almost impossible to say no to that.
Right.
When we made that decision, which was in 2010, a quote-unquote sponsored post was not what it is now. Back then, it was like, I'm going to send you something free. Will you write about it? We were really saying, like, don't send us your stuff. It's so much simpler for us to, like, just blog about things that we go out and buy with intention, not get thrown our way.
Yeah.
It was all the, like, sort of like, oh, gosh, now I feel obligated to write about this thing because they were so nice to send it to me and, you know.
I also think, if we're honest, some of it has to do with our previous professions in advertising, in that we came at blogging as it's so refreshing because we're just using our own voice and we're just saying what we really love. And so that probably colored our perception of, oh, gosh, if we accept these freebies and we blog about them, it's just like being in advertising. And we were doing this because it felt different from advertising. You
right,
know?
Right. That's kind of what I thought you would say. in a good way.
So yeah, if there's still any mystery about it, the purpose of this episode was not because we're suddenly going to change our policy and start doing sponsored posts on our blog or on our social feeds. Because as we said up front, it really was just a topic that interested us.
And I'm nosy. So I wanted to have an honest chat with three girl bosses. You know, #girlboss. So I hope you guys like listening in.
Again, we want to give a huge thanks to Nicole Balch from Making It Lovely, Justina Blakeney from The Jungalow, and Emily Henderson from Style by Emily Henderson for sharing their thoughts on this, you know, sometimes sensitive subject. Be sure to check out their blogs and their social channels, which we'll link to in the show notes as well.
Ooh, I think we should close out with our dramatic special episode music.
Oh, let's go for it. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of Young House Love Has a Podcast, Podcast.
This is terrible. Okay. I'm going to play the normal music.
Oh yeah, this is much better. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
We'll be back to our normal format next week. So if you don't want to miss that episode, be sure to subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast.
And we've loved hearing what you guys do while you listen to our podcast. Painting a room, making dinner. Keep tagging @younghouselove on Instagram or Twitter so we can see.
And to see notes, links, or photos from this episode, go to younghouselove.com/podcast. Like that link to Justina's Money Matters blog post and the Tumblr account where people anonymously share their sponsorship deals. Later.
Bye. So what is Justina getting paid these days for her sponsored posts?
Or sponsored horses.
Outtake.